Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Take Two in the World of Podcasting proudly present to you the WWE Tag Team Superfans of the World, the Dream Craig Machine, the Badass Johnny P, Take Two Takedown.
And if you're not down with Take Two Takedown, we got two words for you.
Suck it!
Here we go, folks. Episode 30, Take Two Takedown. I'm Craig. John, welcome to episode 30.
Craig, thank you.
And we have to say, episode 30 is important to us. Do you know why, John? Because you were born in 1930. That's why.
No, my friend, no? Not that old.
No? You're not 87 years old?
No.
Damn it. I was close, though. I was close, right?
No.
Right? No. You're not a child of the 30s?
No, not a child of the 30s. Born 1970, my friend.
Oh, so your mom was not a flapper. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
No?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. We don't know.
She would have been more of a 50s girl.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Sock hop, pink lady kind of girl.
Yeah, pink lady.
A pink lady?
Yeah, because my mom's badass.
Right, exactly.
The same mom that makes me t-shirts to wear to other shows. That's a badass. Right,
she's there. Basically Rizzo.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know. You don't know?
My mom will cut you like a...
You can't see her.
Thug in a prison yard. You can't see her.
But welcome, folks. We also talk about wrestling here.
Oh, yeah. Just my mom's.
Yeah. If you're just joining us for the first time, we are glad you are here. Welcome to Take Two Takedown. We talk about all things relating to wrestling that we can try and attempt to watch, which there is tons of now, which we are happy of.
Holy crap, there's so much on right now.
So much! So much. You can follow us as we vent and maybe get excited and talk about all of this on Twitter, at Take Two Takedown. You can follow us there. And if you have anything you want to talk to us about, you can email us in our mailbag, which is tripletbag@gmail.com. That's the word triple, T-B-A-G, @gmail.com, because we do a letter every week. John, letters are bag time.
No, my friend. There is so much crap to go through with Backlash, Raw, and SmackDown this week. We're going to have to not do a letter.
But the fans demand our attention, John.
Really?
Demand it!
Really?
No, because we got to talk about the crap that is Backlash.
Yeah, let's go ahead and shovel through all the crap we have to get through. Our fans will understand. It's nothing against them. It's
right.
Just that.
It's all against WWE.
Yeah, there's a lot of hate right now.
There's a lot of hate. So I think we start there. We start with the dumpster fire that is Backlash.
So, like you, like me, a lot of our friends and other wrestling fans have figured out that Backlash just fell to the wayside after WrestleMania and the greatest Royal Oil Rumble for all the awesomeness that is in the world.
Yes, right.
All right, so
proper name.
Mm-hmm. Backlash just came as maybe an afterthought. There was no story build.
Nope.
There was no need for any of these matches. It was like a glorified Raw and SmackDown episode.
Correct.
With that being said, there were some high points.
The first one being the first match of the night.
Why do you open with that glorious match? Because you just let us down the rest of the night.
The rest of the night was a complete let. Sorry. We failed to mention the kickoff match with Bayley.
Bayley and Ruby Riott?
Bayley and Ruby Riott, which is...
So, why did you open the show with just that great match?
Right. Rollins and Miz were awesome.
Oh.
Awesome.
The two of them have such a great chemistry together. But, like, we say that with Rollins and everybody.
Yeah.
Rollins and Balor, great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Rollins and Rusev, great chemistry.
This is obviously Rollins that is doing all this.
I mean, they're outside of the whole diatribe that he wrestles hard and that he hits stiff and that he's ending careers or injuring people and all that, Rollins is just performing and doing a great show.
Right. I can't think of a time in recent, at least a couple months, he has had a bad match, like a non-entertaining, usually top of the card or second best match of an entire episode he was on or a pay-per-view he was on or whatever.
Right. And then you couple him with somebody like The Miz, who can totally sell a story. May not be the greatest in-ring entertainer, but can totally sell a story. His movesets allows for it, and he can take bumps from, you know, everybody from Rollins on down to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
So you had the makings of greatness here, and it delivered.
Yes. I mean, there were certain highlights in here that I know I enjoyed, like the frog splash across three quarters of the ring from Rollins.
I think he flew from, like, the upper tier of the audience on that. It was ridiculous.
That was amazing. They did their reversal of the figure four lock, and then Rollins reversed it, and then back into the figure four lock.
Just like, the back and forth.
That was great. That was great. I mean, Rollins ended up winning it.
Right, right.
Which, you know, you kind of knew was going to happen, I feel, because they're not going to... It all depended on how these belts moved.
But we get this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's the most important thing we learned about The Miz and The Miztourage because of this?
They are gone. They are separated.
Done.
They were there. It was, I don't know if you're aware, this was a co-branded event.
I hadn't heard.
First one.
What?
First one. First ever co-branded event, aside from WrestleMania and Greatest Royal Rumble, which just happened. But first ever co-branded event. So they were all three
do
were there.
Do you want to get into the idea of the co-branded event right now, or do you want to wait till we finish Backlash? Because I have a point I'd like to make about this.
Let's finish Backlash, and then we'll go into the aftermath that is Backlash, which I think will lead into these co-branded.
The Backlash of Backlash?
The Backlash of Backlash.
The Backwash of Backlash.
Yes, that is so much better.
So we'll get into the Backwash at the end of this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we find out, one, The Miz and The Miztourage have broken up completely.
Done. Completely.
So, ladies, watch out. The Miztourage is on the market.
He is.
Not The Miz. The Miztourage. The Miz has a wife and a baby at home.
So, like, he's not off. I can't sleep with him?
No.
Done.
But, and like you said, Rollins is amazing.
He's amazing.
Wins the match. Belt stays on Raw.
Yeah. Perfect.
We're fine.
Perfect.
Then we get into what I like to call a train wreck.
Whatever would that be?
This is the Nia Jax and the Alexa Bliss match. The bully match.
Because Alexa Bliss is such a bully. She's mean. And we've loved all these moments of blisses.
No. Nia Jax is such a bully.
Such a bully. And
Alexa is a fat-shaming bully. And Nia is a height-shaming bully.
She is. She is. But if you watch this match, I mean, the fact that Alexa still has arms attached to her shoulders is shocking to me after this.
We find out after the match that Alexa got her shoulder hurt.
Right. Well, and I'm not sure if this is real or we're going kayfabe. Like, I don't know.
Is it kayfabe? Because Nia's putting down, like, no, she's fine. She's traveling. Everything's all right. She's just trying to get your sympathy.
Right.
And Alexa's like, no, I got boo-boo elbow, shoulder, whatever.
I mean, some of those moves that Jax did were shoulder pain worthy. Like, if it was real.
I mean, I get it. Nia Jax literally is the unstoppable force where she is twice the size of all the competitors in the ring with her.
Yeah.
Her moveset that they've given her, and there's been a lot of argument for it, but what I'm going to say is Nia Jax may wrestle a little stiff, but her size compared to the people that she is working with is noticeable.
Yes, exactly. And I would say almost even more than somebody like Strowman and people he's with.
And I'm just going to put this out there. Who am I as a fan to say that Nia Jax needs to wrestle safer?
Yeah.
The wrestlers, the entertainers that work in that business that agree to go into a match with her know what she does, know how she works. So they should understand.
Yes,
now,
exactly.
I agree that there should be somebody within the company that says, you know what, that move you're thinking, not going to be safe.
Right, and maybe there is. I don't know if there is somebody like that. I assume there is.
But that's their responsibility. Right. Not I as the fan to judge who's wrestling hard or who's wrestling unsafe.
No. Because
we can say the same thing about Rollins. We can say the same thing about Samoa Joe.
Right. All of them people have been legitimately hurt afterwards.
Mojo?
I don't know if that is their fault. I don't know if that is the person taking the bump's fault. Like, I don't know how this all works out. As much as we look like Greek gods, we are not actual wrestlers.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
Out of a round boulder. Round boulder.
Very right. Light chisels.
So now that we've gone on that tangent, Nia obviously wins. She puts out this promo of... Yes. I was bullied, and you can be awesome. And I'm like, she is reading a script from the, you know, Bully Anonymous charity that we automatically get something from Cole about, hey, if you're being bullied, you can go to there. You know,
exactly.
We here at WWE, because we care so much, are giving X amount of dollars to the anti-bullying campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Great, Cole. You put yourself over at the cost of, you know, a charity.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy. But, I do have a question for you.
Yes.
Did you happen to notice the ref in this match?
You mean the one who was involved sometimes more in the match than the actual wrestlers? He loved to get in and just constantly be checking on how Bliss was doing, or how, like, right up on face, like, almost that you could hear, are you okay? Like, yeah. Are you fine?
Yeah, I think there's something there.
I guess, I don't know.
That's a little weird. You know what wasn't there?
What?
Orton. Orton had completely checked out. He could have cared less about this match. He could have
cared less about this.
He had a match for the U.S. title with Jeff Hardy.
Right.
And Orton just kind of like showed up, laid on his bag, and said, just get this shit.
Just get it over with. Just get it over with. And this is where the first funny things my wife say came out during, while we were watching Backlash. We watch Jeff Hardy. He comes out. He does a little bit. And at some point, she's like, you know, what is Jeff Hardy's like shtick? Like, what? What is he?
What's his thing?
You know, you got like the big dog, Roman Reigns.
The big dog!
The big dog!
All right, so if you guys don't understand, alleged wrestling podcast is good friends of ours, and they do this thing whenever somebody says the big dog, where it's the big dog, and we have gotten hooked. We can't do
stop
it
saying it.
Anywhere near as well as, but we walk around the halls at work together just yelling at each other, the big dog! So anyway,
but I don't like
what is his shtick?
Is he like a 90s like rock guy? Like I feel like Attitude Era happened, and then he left, and he came back, and he's like it's still Attitude Era, right? Like rock music and rainbow arms.
Did you explain to your wife that he has issues with chemical dependency?
That
he may not know that it's gone past 1998.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because that facial hair alone screams mid-90s.
All right, so the points I took away from this, Hardy wins the match, but the points I take away from this is, one, did you hear where I think it was Graves said, Hardy better be careful with the veteran of Orton in the ring? Hardy started, I think, 4 to 6 years before Orton even joined WWE.
Right.
But
Orton's a veteran here.
But Orton's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy, well, I guess they were taking the time that Hardy was away from WWE wasn't in TNA or doing any other wrestling events.
Therefore, once you're non-WWE, those years just go away.
Yeah, no, they don't count.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
That makes total sense.
But I just, when I heard that, I was like, wait a minute. Jeff Hardy, I think, is like 8 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
And Orton is like 14 years younger than I am. Like, who's the veteran?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
They don't like math, WWE. Then, math is hard.
All right. So then we get this in-ring promo with Elias.
Right. Which is unexpected. He was not slated to be there.
Yeah, but how did you feel about it? Like, were you good with it? Because there's a 50-50 split here, and I'm assuming I'm on the other end of the spectrum.
I'm going to probably guess so, but I'm saying the only two things I enjoyed about Backlash were Rollins and Miz and this musical interlude from everybody that involves music in their intro.
So
I was all in. All
right. So then we are on the same side.
Okay.
All right. Because I actually enjoyed this. This, just for the sheer entertainment value of everything that happened, I was in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to know, do you think No Way Jose is part of Titus Worldwide now?
Mm-hmm.
So No Way Jose comes in and in 2 weeks has been relegated to lower mid card at best.
Right. At best. All right. I mean, this entire segment was to build the Elias-Bobby Roode feud.
And it's fine, because we get this cut promo of Elias where he is just ripping on the crowd and makes fun of Jersey. He calls out Springsteen. All great. All great Elias stuff, and I'm cool. Yes. I'm with it. And then New Day comes out. Mm-hmm. They've got Francesca and some big old bass drum.
Which doesn't even fit on Big E's massive boulder shoulders, because it's like resting on it. Like, it can't even go around it like a normal person.
No, but I love it.
I loved it.
And then they interrupt his promo. Then as he's getting right back into it, then
then English comes out for Rusev Day.
English comes out and sings. And then That's Not Good Enough. No Way comes out with a conga line and Titus Worldwide. And they're
and Fashion Police.
And also, the Fashion Police is at the end. They are all just having a great old time. I love it. And then at the end, what do we get? Lights out, Roode, boom.
Boom.
Glorious DDT.
From behind. Oh,
then great. They all conga out. Now, One of my favorite parts about this whole thing was, did you see what happened with Aiden and Rusev?
Where Aiden wanted to join the conga line.
And No.
We don't do that.
Not on Rusev. No congas on Rusev.
But the best part was them all getting up to the top of the ramp, and then you've got Rude and Titus Worldwide and Fashion Police and New Day all doing the glorious move and dancing there together.
I was all in on this. Like, after we had the Bliss match and the Hardy match, I'm like, oh.
You needed something to
keep it was a palate cleanser.
Right. And this, I think once they got to Rusev and that happened, then it started to be a like, oh, who's coming out next? Like, who's going to interrupt next? Because the best part was Elias getting pissed every time. Be like, no, this is me. This is my, JoJo, cut the lights. Turn on. Come on.
I was waiting for Braun Strowman to come out with a cello. A big ass bass.
I would have loved that.
Like, I'm going to hit you with this one now. And then you get these hands. So that's what I was waiting for, but it never happened.
Oh.
So we get a good little promo, and that leads us into Daniel Bryan and Big Cass.
Right.
Now, my son's new favorite, remember, he's 11, so it changes.
Mm-hmm.
He loves him some Daniel Bryan.
Okay. Can't blame him for that. Daniel Bryan's great. We all love Daniel
Bryan.
And
we'll talk about it because we went to SmackDown this Tuesday, and we saw him for reals in live.
Mm-hmm. For realses.
For realses in live.
Mm-hmm.
And my son loved it. Anyway, all right, so.
Please explain what your inners are feeling.
Okay, never a big fan of Big Cass.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the mic work he's doing now compared to what he used to do.
Yes.
He has gotten a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to him. This match, however, typical WWE, David versus Goliath, but... Hell, you've got Cass killing Bryan the whole match, and then he gets him in the yes lock,
mm-hmm.
and Cass taps immediately?
Right.
This did no good for either.
And then you have it end, and then Cass starts beating him down after the bell and beats him up again. Like, it's like,
I get it, but this did no good for either of them.
No.
Like,
This didn't progress anything forward.
You make Cass look weak,
mm-hmm.
and then you make him look like a crybaby weakly.
Yep. Who can't accept it.
I don't have a problem with if you get beat, then you go to beat them down.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Right, right.
But just the way they went about it, the way they made this match, mm-hmm. it just made both of them look bad. Like, Daniel Bryan only gets lucky for a win,
mm-hmm.
and then he just winds up getting beat up anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And because that one was such crap, they followed it up with a bigger turd.
Yes.
They let the horse loose. She dropped manure. And, as much as I don't like Carmella, I will say this. Letting her win clean twice against Charlotte, how does that take?
I don't.
Like, you just buried Asuka without her even being present.
Exactly.
Charlotte takes away the longest women's reign as undefeated,
mm-hmm.
and then she immediately loses twice clean to Horseface.
I mean, even if you had, and this is what I was expecting, because they were in the kickoff. The Iconics were in the kickoff show. So I just sort of assumed this was probably going to lead to them somehow interfering so that Carmella could keep it and still win. But they didn't. It was, it was a straight, clean win. I mean, it was a weird kick to the butt that knocked Charlotte down.
Well, I mean, so she tried to come off the ring, and she had jacked her knee up before, and now her knee hurt. And then Mella, ever the opportunist, kicks the knee out, rolls her up in a little small package, and gets the win. So what did I hate more? The actual way the match went or Carmella's voice the whole time?
For me, Carmella's voice.
Carmella's voice.
I mean, that shtick, which sometimes people do, the female wrestlers do, which is the screaming when they get thrown or when they get thrown into some sort of lock. She has that down pat.
But I mean, oh God, it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see the horse face. I don't like it.
No.
All right. Don't want to hear her scream.
No.
It's just annoying all around.
All around.
So if you want...
The Princess of Staten Island.
If you want to think like there's heel heat, it's not heel heat. I just don't like her or the character.
No. Not at all.
So...
No. Not at all. But it's okay because there's going to be a Carmella Royal celebration.
A Melibration.
A Melibration.
Yeah. She wouldn't do it in a crappy town like Baltimore.
No.
She's going to London.
London to do it.
That's where we have Melibrations.
Horse face. All right, then we get into Styles and Nakamura.
You mean Rochambeau?
Yes, exactly. Junk punches and junk kicks. That's what we call it.
Rochambeau match.
I liked it. I thought it was a great match.
But why was it
here?
Yeah. No sense.
No.
This should have been your main event.
And I think when this happened, when you realized this event was happening, everybody knew, well, shit, now this is Samoa Joe and Reigns are going to be the end.
Yeah, we all knew what the title match was.
And then I legitimately didn't remember until we were watching this match. Like, shit, we still haven't had that completely thrown together Strowman-Lashley crap.
Wait, we just need to get them on TV, put it together.
So you still had, this is third from the bottom.
We'll talk about Strowman and Chuck Lesnar in a minute.
Like, Chuck Lesnar.
Another one from Gordo.
Oh, but it was a good match. I enjoyed obviously it was not on purpose, but the chair usage of him.
It made the match better,
Styles
did it not?
Throwing it at the knee and then hitting him in the face.
Yeah, but that little trickle of blood on his cheek really made the match better.
Right, and then when SmackDown came around.
He had a
that was
big,
not a little trickle anymore.
No.
That looked like flesh-eating virus was attacking his face.
I think he's got the MRSA.
Probably one of those tremors came up from the ground and ate him.
So, but this begs the question. We're in a no disqualification match, right?
Correct.
How do they both get counted out?
I don't know.
All right, you want to know?
How?
Because our fans, some of the people are questioning this.
Mm-hmm.
So in a no DQ match, no holds barred match, street fight, whatever, the ref always has the option of calling the fight if he believes the contenders can no longer fight or if it's against their betterment for their health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming the ref decided that because both of them couldn't stand up and it was a pretty vicious nut shot on each.
That was.
Which I got to say, out of kayfabe, they choreographed that perfectly.
Oh,
like, they hit each other in sync.
That. The photo that they show, because for some reason WWE never shows their own clips when they show Raw and SmackDown, but whatever. The photo that they show during SmackDown of them doing the simultaneous groin kick is perfect. Like, I mean, you see both of them up on tippy toes being simultaneously kicked. Like, it's great.
But, I mean, so all that went. So that's why they can both be counted out, and we don't get a clear winner.
Do you feel that knowing that this was going to be the ending is the reason they put this third from the bottom?
But I think this match was better than the other two.
Oh, it was by far better, but at least the other ones ended.
And it is a title match. The other two were not.
No,
why?
They were for nothing.
All these next two matches were, because it was Strowman and Reigns, was Vince in the back going, I don't give a shit what they think. Screw the fans. I'm putting my boys in. My big old Braun Strowman.
My monster.
That lovely, lovely Samoan boy.
Oh.
That's why I think those matches ended the show.
Mm.
So let's talk about those two matches.
Yeah, so KO and Zayn versus
Who we love.
And Lashley and Strowman. All just thrown together. All right. I know there's the one point where Zayn tries to, like, run away and KO, like, stops him. And is like, no, we have to finish this fight. So there's tension between them.
Well, so I guess they're doing this to separate them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine because Raw has no real heels.
No.
So this is fine. And I will always, always, always watch Zayn and KO go at it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Friends or whatever, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I love the two of them. They work each other so well.
Right.
You know who I could care less about? Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
As our friend Gordo calls him, Chuck Lesnar.
Chuck Lesnar, right.
I don't get, like, one, why would you put him with Braun Strowman when they have the same set of moves?
Right.
Like, the only thing Lashley does that's any different than Lesnar is the stall slam.
Yes.
Where he just holds him up.
Which I will give him credit in pure strength wise. He held up that rather rotund man of Kevin Owens for 29 seconds before he dropped him. Like, that was.
They're saying officially it was 27.
Ooh, 27. That was impressive. I will give you that.
I guess.
But that didn't save anything. That didn't make a match.
No. So that match was useless. It was fun to watch. Like, I loved.
Was it?
Well, I liked watching the dynamic between KO and Sammy.
Okay.
For me, that was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not complaining about that.
Right, right. And then we get into our final match.
Why?
Of Samoa Joe versus...
It wasn't even a match. It was nothing but rest holds and then a spear and a pin.
Yeah. And then what was with that? He had him in the, I guess it's the coquina clutch that mm-hmm. he had Roman in. And it looked like he's going to pass out. And I was thinking, this is actually a decent ending to this.
Right.
If you don't make Roman look weak because he didn't tap, he just passes out. But you still have Joe back up all this talking he's doing by actually winning.
Right.
Which has sort of been his problem. He does a lot of talking, but he doesn't really win every time. And now, all of a sudden, Roman Reigns wakes up. Like, I'm awake.
I saw the light. Jeebus, I'm coming.
Yeah. And then gets out of it. And now you've, once again, ended a pay-per-view with Roman winning and no one caring. And Samoa Joe... What's he supposed to do now? You can't talk a big game when you lose. Like, it doesn't work that way.
All right. So that gets us through Backlash. Should we talk about our Backlash picks?
We should.
All right, so we're getting into Backwash.
Backwash.
Mm-hmm. All right. The Backwash from Backlash that
right.
we have.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to have these co-branded...
Co-branded events.
Events.
Mm-hmm.
We have too many belts now.
Yes.
There should only be one heavyweight universal champion where anybody from either SmackDown or Raw can challenge each other so that we can have that crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can have enough competition where you have enough people trying to be the number one contender from SmackDown and Raw.
Yes.
And just being the number one contendership can be your story.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an IC or a US champ and have that separated on
right.
both.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. I think the main thing
is... You have one women's champ.
Right, you need one.
Yeah, and one it allows women's, you...
Use them all.
Yeah.
You need one women's champ and you need one tag team champ. Because neither show is strong enough, really, to keep a good, healthy tag team division going.
Right, and then we get crossover, we yep. get a lot of stuff, and that's what we want.
Exactly.
You can keep Raw and SmackDown, and then you can build up that tension between Raw and SmackDown. Like, if Raw's got two titles and SmackDown's got three, oh my God, SmackDown's better than us. We gotta up our game.
Exactly. And I think if you lead to something like one tag team title and one women's title between both shows, I think you can get to, which I think they have potential to get to, which is a potential women's tag team title.
Right.
You know, they're moving towards that. But right now, you can't do that because now you're going to take out half of the females you have currently on the roster to all of a sudden become tag teams.
And
now you don't have enough people to fight for both belts.
So, and then what does this do for Survivor Series?
Exactly. Like, I don't know.
Okay, so that left a bad taste in my mouth.
Right.
What also left a bad taste in my mouth is as we are developing our pick and pulls for all the major events.
Correct.
I once again lost to you, my friend.
You did! On something that you decided on all the scoring for.
I know. So what did I do? I promptly went back and changed all the scoring.
Right. The only thing that I am upset about, there are two.
Yes.
One, we decided to guess on the color of Charlotte's robes.
I was a genius.
You went with the peacock.
Yes,
Charlotte,
I did.
And I went with silver and blue. Charlotte comes out wearing a blue robe with peacock attire. And I was like, ah, so close. So
well,
close.
There is the peacock robes that I know she
exactly.
would wear. Now, I will say this, though. Not my favorite. I like the blue and silver better.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So. I agree. And then I went for the long shot
yep.
of Renee Young wearing sequins.
Which, I gotta say, that was a very specific...
Very specific. Fringe and sequins on a jacket is what I said. I should have known... The answer would have been sequins and jacket on Peter Rosenberg.
Why?
Because
you?
That's what he wore was a giant PR.
I would have given it to you.
Pink ladied onto his jacket.
I would have given it to you.
Like that, I should have said, you know, one of the commentators would be wearing it. I might have had a chance.
You would have.
I went too narrow. I went too narrow.
Renee subbed you in the fact that she didn't even have sleeves.
She didn't even have it. Let alone a jacket. Chest, no sleeves.
Her chest looked like Daniel Bryan's after the greatest Royal Oil Rumble for all life and eternity.
And eternity and forever. And
yeah.
Happy birthday, Prince.
But so we both agree. Backlash was crap.
Right. But it helped us rework this whole new scheduling, scoring. Prediction right. thing for our next coming up event.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get down a set group of rules that when we do pick 'em pulls, we can put it out there. You guys are welcome to use them. We want to invite
fans. We want to invite other shows to join us when we do these major events so that we can have some fun with it.
Exactly.
There may be valuable prizes.
Prizes?
Yeah, that you may be able to win eventually down the way.
Right.
When, you know...
we get money.
Yeah.
We have a sponsor.
Never happened.
No.
But, so anyway, that's what we're up to. Thanks to those that have been helping us.
Yeah, we love you for it.
So, speaking of help.
Help!
What helped us get over backlash?
Raw. Raw, yes, Raw. So we start Raw with Kurt Angle coming out.
And announcing the beginning of the new wrestling year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Money in the bank.
Money in the bank.
And guess what, folks? It's not next week. We have 6 weeks.
I know. This is so weird.
Thank fucking God we have some time now. I can now actually go into a wrestling hangover and be like, wait a minute. I need like a good week or two to kind of chill out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still watch. I'll still be a fan, but I'm not going to sit here and try to soak it up like a sponge. I'm just going to let it be.
I mean, and the issue as merely as just a show we were having is every other episode was either a prediction show or a recap show of a pay-per-view because there was no break. Like, we just kept going and going and going. So I think this has potential to actually build stories, which is what we like about wrestling.
Exactly. So now we have 6 weeks for a build-up before we get to Money in the Bank. Grandpapa Angle comes out and lets us know this.
Mm-hmm. He does. He does. So it's going to be 4 people from Raw and 4 people from SmackDown.
Men and women.
Men and women. So there'll be 2 Money in the Banks, which is good. I like that they have...
I like it.
I think the Money in the Bank women's, I think, worked out pretty well.
But I like the idea that 4 from each show will compete. The winner can challenge anyone on Raw or SmackDown.
Yes.
The current champs.
I like that.
I like that. I think it builds up some story, gives us some angles. I like it.
Right. And the thing I think I'm already most excited about is Money in the Bank came from the first match that we had on Raw, which was KO versus Strowman, and KO or Strowman winning this. And now I get to see Braun Strowman attempt to climb a ladder that is meant for a normal sized human.
What do you think is going to give first? The mat on the ring.
Right.
Or the ladder rung?
I'm thinking ladder rung. Because if I'm correct, Money in the Bank is just one ladder, correct?
Yeah.
So there's one ladder. So it better be a strong, sturdy ladder.
Well, no, I mean, there are ladders. They're under the ring and all that.
That's
they
true.
Can bring other ladders, but I can't see Braun making it up a ladder.
I don't know. I mean, if...
could you see Braun doing what Rollins did, where he jumps off the top rope ring onto the ladder?
That would literally crush the whole thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, so Strowman beats up on KO.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great... I'd rather watch this match than the tag match.
Yes, this was so much better than the one that they did the night before. Where they had extra people.
So we had a good match. Then we had...
What do we have next?
We had
next. Excellent.
No Way Jose
Titus Wrestling.
No Way Jose and Titus Worldwide against Baron Corbin in the Revival.
Right.
Why are they trashing the Revival
this? They really are. Like, they're obviously doing a whole Revival is heel angle.
Fine.
Which I'm great with. And
they're
I think
good
it's great.
In the heel.
But they're not. But
they're not, like. Fine, they're a heel, but God damn it, these are some talented
people.
They
really are.
And you are not allowing them to step up their game and bring it out.
No.
What you're giving me is bottom, maybe mid-card of No Way Jose and Titus Worldwide getting one over, which we both know isn't going to matter later.
No, not in the least.
So I could care less about that match.
Not in the least. Then we get a 3-way women's match. Three-way with women match.
Yeah.
For their first Money in the Bank female, which is Ember Moon versus Sasha Banks versus Ruby Riott.
This was a great match.
This was really good.
Very entertaining.
This was really good. And I could watch Ember Moon do that eclipse move all day. And I think the way they had it, which was, you know, Sasha Banks and Ruby Riott going at it. And one of the things I do love is when WWE does those angles of, like, what they did here. Banks and Riott fighting in the ring. You don't see the corner. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, here comes Ember Moon. Yes. And she gets them both. Like, I like that surprise that happens.
I'm happy with the match. I'm happy with everything that went on. But once again, it keeps cementing the fact that Ruby Riott is a worker. And she,
yes.
As much as she scares me, the vision.
Right.
You know, just not a very, it's a scary.
It's a scary woman. Yes.
But she's very talented in the ring, and I am becoming more and more, you know, a fan of hers.
Yes, yes. Then we get into who is Bobby Lashley? A day in the life.
I will say this.
Of Bobby Lashley.
He's a dapper dresser. His little driver cap.
Yeah, sometimes that headband just isn't doing anything for him.
If I can't have a headband, I got to put on a fuzzy cap.
So we have this sit-down interview with Renee Young, which I don't even know if you want to call it an interview, because she may have asked three questions. One of which was his answer of him and his childhood and a scar he got from his sister that took like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Why?
What is the purpose of this?
It was weird.
Like, what is this?
I don't know.
Like, what should have been asked is, hey, Bobby Lashley, where have you been for 10 years? What have you been doing?
Remember.
No. That didn't come up.
WWE. No.
We don't acknowledge that.
Homage to when he was in the military and coming up as a wrestler and won medals. And
I'm assuming because of the dapper dress and the nice sit-down interview, this is to get over Bobby Lashley as like a face?
I think they are, because I think they're like, hey, we bring him in, we pair him up with our number one big guy, Strowman.
Right.
And we're trying to make him as a beast.
Right.
But
like, he wears cool driving caps. Yes. He should be your friend. Like,
look at him. He's got a pretty suit on.
I don't understand.
How many times do you think he looked at Renee and went, that'll be a good snack?
The best part was, you could tell this was done after Backlash, because Renee Young was still wearing the same outfit that she wore during Backlash.
I don't mind. She looked good in that outfit.
But it was like, really? Like, he changed his clothes. You couldn't just bring another shirt? Maybe put on that sequin jacket that I was hoping you were going to wear in the first place?
Beat up Rosenberg for it?
Right.
All right. All I'm going to say is that it was totally useless. It was totally weird. I don't get it. No. And it served no purpose.
No purpose.
None.
No.
So, speaking of serving no purpose.
Jinder Mahal and Chad Gable.
Oh. Why are they building heat with Gable and Mahal?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't know. I feel like much of WWE is either bringing people slightly up to mid-card or bringing people down to mid-card. Well, like, we're just like, all moving into this mesh of mid-card.
Well, the problem I have is, it's like they take people like a Chad Gable.
Yes.
An Apollo Crews.
Mm-hmm.
Highly talented, capable people, but just because they're a little short,
mm-hmm,
or they don't match the stigma of like this giant beast of a man, you know, they don't want to let them work. Chad Gable is super talented and probably one of the strongest per pound fighters in there, and you are not letting him loose.
You're
screwing yourselves, and you're screwing the fans. And you know what I say to that? Screw you.
Ooh, but I will say, one of the things you saw in this match, and I think it was purposely done, was a moonsault from Gable onto Jinder Mahal, where Jinder Mahal was actually in the spot he was supposed to be fell down.
He did it the right way?
Right. And I feel that was very purposefully in there to make sure that you show that, hey, look, it's not just the vibration of the rings that make him drop. Like,
do you realize with that match with Jinder, then we get this next match.
Right.
3MB was...
I know.
Did you get that? I think Drew pretty much told Slater when he crushed him that there is not going to be a 3MB ever again.
No. But it was fun to watch. I like this Ziggler-Drew McIntyre thing.
You do?
I do. The only thing I wish is that they switch the intros. Yeah. I would rather have Ziggler come out and then you come out to Drew's music. That's just because I like Drew's music more. And I see you need to walk down the ring to that.
I don't know. See, I don't know, because, like, Ziggler, ever since he came back, he got his new contract and all that, he just looks like a hired help.
He's only going
to do as much as it takes to get the paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before he left, he actually had heart. He had purpose. He put effort into it.
Right. You don't gum smacking Ziggler?
No.
No? Selling Cricket Wireless during every commercial break?
I do like...
Every single commercial break.
Would you say he has a sequence in Shiny Jacket?
Yes.
I do like me a permed out Ziggler.
Who can't love that?
Freaking hair pillow. But so McIntyre and Ziggler, whatever they're going to call themselves, had this match with Rhino and Slater, which we both know are punching bags.
Yes, constantly. Right?
But what I'm really loving about McIntyre since he's come back up, I guess you would say, just the in-ring persona he is putting out is so much better.
Oh,
like, did you see him when he had Slater in the corner and Slater's there trying to make a move and McIntyre is just stalking him from the side? And as soon as he opens up his defense, lays him out. It's beautiful.
He's great. He's great.
So, of course, Drew and Dolph win this one.
Of course they do. Against the human punching bags of Rhino and Slater.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to be their purpose now.
So, did you know?
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Mojo was on the show.
Oh, did I ever know? We had Rollins do his ICC open challenge, which I like. I'm a big fan of the open challenge.
I love it.
I love it when Cena did it. Like, I love that stuff. You never know who's going to come out. And then Mojo comes out. And I know there are people that are not fans of Mojo.
Who got the bigger pop out of Craig? Out of the Machine? Who did you mark out more for? Rollins when he came out? Because it's like, oh, great, Rollins. Mm-hmm. Or Mojo when he came out? You're like, oh, Mojo.
100% Mojo.
Me too.
Dun, 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 dun.
I think you and I may be the only two that realize the potential they have in Mojo.
And this is, once again, Rollins had a great match. And I think Rollins, I don't know if Rollins brings people up to his level or what it is. But there were some moves. Mojo has, I think, potential that's in there that you could see during this. Like that movie, I don't know what it's called. That movie does where he basically picks someone up and slams them to the ground.
Yeah.
Rollins sold that shit beautifully.
Yep. But, and then Rollins wins with the blackout stomp.
Right. Which is, I knew he was going to win. You're not going to give it to Mojo. But
I will say this.
I just liked how good Mojo looked during it.
You and I both know SmackDown was in Baltimore, correct?
Correct, because we were there.
Do you realize that Mojo has never done a local show?
Yeah, like, I know.
Raw was in New Jersey.
Right.
And he was in New Jersey.
I know.
Why wouldn't you bring Mojo to SmackDown?
No.
In Maryland.
In his hometown?
No. In freaking Baltimore, Maryland.
The only time we've seen Mojo in person was, I believe, when we saw him at WWE Live.
In Virginia. Which is close, but it's not Maryland.
It's not there. No.
So I have never seen him do a show in Maryland.
And if you want to talk about a crowd that would pop just for seeing Maryland flags, it's Baltimore.
Beamer, hun.
Baltimore, do that, hun.
So.
Then we get into the Deleter of Worlds versus the former Miz Taraj, who have no name yet.
But remember I told you, I brought up a rumor, and I feel this may be an intro to it. Bray Wyatt, you know how he likes factions.
He does.
You know how Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel are looking for a faction. I mean, I've written a whole story about this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Hardys come together. It's Brother Nero and, you know, Matt, Woken Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bray goes back into the dark, but he brings his brother this time, and now it's like Family Feud.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Curtis Axel is just there as like a televangelist in the middle.
Things would be great. I mean, if you and I think for some reason, while I enjoy
Senior Benjamin,
always bring Senior Benjamin in,
the mower of lots.
While I enjoy the light darkness they're doing, I think your idea of doing the darkness of Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt and Curtis Axel in all white suit evangelist, I think would work so much better.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm just saying.
We're
get to see this match?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How over were you? Because you like the Deleters of World.
I love the Deleters of World.
And I'm a fan of Bray's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't mind Bo and Curtis Axel.
No, I think they're good. I don't mind. And they're both good. I mean, the thing at least that we know with Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel is that because they are big in the helping wrestlers come up and like working with them to how you work on television, they're not going anywhere. They will always be on television. They'll go lower in a card.
They are known jobbers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like they have enough.
They're never going to win.
To be, yeah. But so your Deleters win.
They do.
So
they do.
I bet you're happy.
Happy.
I just watched the match. It was a decent match.
It was a decent match. It's good.
Then we get into our main event,
right.
And it's Balor versus Reigns versus Zayn for another spot in the Money in the Bank.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. going into it, be honest, who did you have your money on getting it?
100% Reigns.
Me too.
I just assumed this was going to be another, you know, Reigns is going for that belt again, and this is how he's going to do it this time, is Money in the Bank style, and that's just what I assumed is going to happen.
All right. And then you have Finn, and then we all know Zayn's going to take the pin.
Right.
That's how I had it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I had it the whole time.
And the whole time it was going, that was how I had it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but then all of a sudden, you got Reigns going, he's about to spear Balor, and then Jinder Mahal comes out.
Why are you building heat between Reigns and Jinder?
I don't know. They do not know what to do with Jinder.
He's a big Indian Punjabi guy. Let's just throw him on Rowan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Throw him on Rude. Throw him on somebody. Give him Gable.
Who cares? Yeah.
But, yeah, Jinder comes out and interferes, costs Reigns the match.
Yeah, because then Balor, as we discussed, Zayn takes the pin. He just takes it from Balor now. So now Balor's in the Money in the Bank. Which is, I mean, good. I think he's going to be good in it. But
somehow Reigns is getting in.
Oh, of course he is. Of course he is. They got two more spots for Raw. I assume one of them is going to be Reigns.
And that's how it ends. Now, I have to confess to our fans.
Yes.
I was busy. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to hear Raw. I got to see it in the background because I was busy working on our parent podcast at Take Two.
That's right. You were explaining all of the joys and virtues of things like Infinity War and all the news and the previews and our summer draft and all that sort of stuff. You were there.
So I got to work with our buddies Brian and Roy.
Yep. Episode 82.
We cut that. It's out. If you guys want to listen, please do. You can tell me if I sound like the complete idiot that I do on this show. That's
correct.
Fine.
That's what I told you.
But had a blast doing it. Mm-hmm. Look forward to doing more. We do have other programs in the work, but we got to give a big shout out. Listen, if you guys need any entertainment news, if you guys want to know anything about movies, TV, that type of news, that kind of stuff, you can get it at Take Two.
Yes.
If that's not enough for you, you get all your wrestling stuff from us here at Take Two Takedown.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you are true full-on nerd and you like you some Dungeons & Dragons and wizards and warlocks
cloaks
and all that stuff,
and magic.
We have the Realm of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you are so ingratiated into the entertainment world that you need to know about more, hit up these Spotlight episodes.
Yes, they just did Josh Brolin.
Which is amazing. They've done 10 now. And all of them, like, every time I've listened to all 10 of them, I've just gone back and be like, I got to see who this actor is.
Yeah.
And then one of my favorites is the Take Two soundtracks.
Oh, I feel especially you, say that.
Where you and the person I hate the most,
right,
Tony D,
mm-hmm.
you guys get together. You focus on one soundtrack. The latest one you've done is Ready Player One.
Yep.
I know the next one coming out is coming soon.
It is coming soon. We're looking at...
Do you want to give us a teaser?
The teaser, for anybody that listens to this show, we are doing Dazed and Confused.
That's not a teaser. You basically
gave them the answer. I just told it's not a teaser. Well, it's a teaser because nobody listens to both shows except me and you.
God, you're horrible.
I know.
But anyway...
But listen.
Listen to these episodes. They are great. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you a little insider information.
Whoa.
Although you are an insider.
I am an insider, but
I'm going to give our fans, those that really listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
There are, right now, other shows in the works.
Ooh, more spinoffs.
Wonderful things. We're not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to give away our hand. We are just going to tell you, if you are a fan,
mm-hmm.
you find us the least bit interesting.
Least bit. Tiniest
stand
bit.
Stand by. There is more coming because Take Two is growing.
And if you need more stuff for your ear holes, it's Craig and John.
That's right. Mm-hmm. If you don't get enough of us, you're not getting enough.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Sounds great to me. Moving.
All right, enough of the pop. Let's talk about probably the best part of this week.
Yes.
SmackDown.
SmackDown, which we got to see surprisingly live. We didn't know this was going to happen.
No, we got a special treat
2 days before.
Yeah, so we have a friend. Her daughter works for WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter was kind enough to offer us tickets on a whim. And, what a special treat. Thank you so much.
Yes,
we really, really, really enjoyed it. I got the opportunity to take my 11-year-old son.
Right. So we went as a proper family.
Yes.
Of you, your son, me, my wife, and my daughter.
Yeah. So
all went together. Like a Brady Bunch thing.
Yeah, we were fine.
Right.
Nobody looked at us like some weird
Kardashian. It was obviously husband,
thing.
Wife, both kids and creepy uncle.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it went.
So you're creepy uncle.
Right. That's what I meant.
Yeah, that's what you were.
Sure. But we went there in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yep. So we were there live.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out with this incredible dark match.
Yes, because they always do that match, you know, beforehand to get people pumped before we get to the 8 o'clock start time. And our dark match was Sonya Deville versus Asuka.
Two of my favorites.
Asuka wasn't even on the show.
No.
But she was just there. Got her for the dark match.
Yeah, she was there. They open up the show. Asuka wins the match.
Yes, as surprising. The favorite part of that being as Sonya Deville is holding onto the ropes, what's going to happen? I have John next to me screaming, "Look out for her butt!" And then Asuka bumps her
with
her off.
The butt, right? I'm trying to warn the people. For those of you that don't know, I'm a big Sonya Deville fan. I like the character. I like to see her grow and develop a little more. But I'm not a big fan of the Asuka butt bump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little weird to me. It's a little weird to me. But it was a great opening match, a great opening dark match. I was fine with it.
It was good. Got everybody pumped. I had fun. Now, here's what gets me is in between the dark match and the actual live opening of SmackDown, did they go with the Backlash replay?
Well, they wanted to get everybody pumped with something exciting, like their most recent event, which was WrestleMania.
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't go with Backlash. They didn't go with the Greatest Royal Rumble.
No.
They went all the way back to WrestleMania and gave us all this Mardi Gras hype. And I'm like
a 10-minute WrestleMania recap.
Yeah, what? I'd rather them just show me, like, hey, this is WWE Network clips.
Yeah.
Hell, put on Live Aids and give me Horseface asking for a bottle of water.
They didn't even mention Backlash until the start of the show.
Right.
When our general manager, Paige, came out and talked about how great Backlash was. And the audience straight up booed her.
So, speaking of when the commentators come out, Corey Graves comes out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're big fans of Corey Graves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude's dressed all in white.
All in white.
He looks like one of those creepy people. Like, you know, that the only thing I can equate him to is there's this Selsun Blue commercial out, and this guy and this girl are out to dinner, and this guy's dressed all in white. He's got white hair, and they're
he's
like,
dandruff?
Oh, hey. You didn't know we were having dinner? I love dinner. Who's this? This is Dandruff.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what Corey Graves,
Graves was wearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That or the Colonel from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes. I would take either one.
Okay.
I would take either one. He comes out, and then Paige comes out, and then our first match is Jeff Hardy versus The Miz, which was, I think it was a 95-minute match.
But I didn't care. It was a great match.
No.
And I will be honest with you. When I heard Jeff Hardy's music pop, I was like, oh, God.
Mm.
Oh, God.
I will say, not a fan, but I've never done it, but being there live and doing that little hand bop with them was fun.
Well, what was funny is I'm looking over at my 11-year-old, and he goes, Dad, what is this hand bop thing? And I'm like, it's a 90s
just
thing.
Just do it.
He was doing it, but he was like, what is this thing? And I'm like, oh, just do it. He's just throwing down. And then the poor family to the side of my son was looking at him like, look at this weird kid just going at it. Crazy white boy.
Crazy white boy.
So anyway, one of my favorite things is, so we're at SmackDown, and I don't have anything that crazy things my wife says.
Right.
But the people behind us, I don't know if you heard them, they were discussing the attire that Jeff Hardy wears to the ring.
Yes.
And the conversation went like this. I'm going to say with the inflection and tone that was used.
Oh, please do.
What's this old motherfucker wearing? Look at this motherfucker. Does he not know it's 2018? That shit went out in 1992. Motherfucker got some parachute pants and a blue-white belt on. What the fuck was a rainbow bright sleeve? God damn. Look at that motherfucker. Who taught him how to shave? Motherfucker got waves in his chin. That shit ain't cool. And I'm sitting there laughing the whole time, and I'm trying to get your attention. The problem I have is you were being super dad talking to your daughter the whole time, and I couldn't be like, listen to this guy, listen to this. Motherfucker had me cracking up the whole time just dissing on how hard he looked.
All I'm going to think now is he got waves in his chin.
Motherfucker got waves cutting his chin. Motherfucker, did he not know it's 2018? The whole thing is I had to sit there and I'm just like, amen, brother, preach on. Keep going.
There's nothing wrong coming
Keep
out of your mouth.
Going. And it, oh, wait. He unzips his shirt and he goes, oh, now this motherfucker gonna take that Speedo off. And then the little chain pops out and he goes, fucking, he got a fucking dog collar on? What the shit is that? So, I'm just saying that's exactly what I heard.
That's pretty dead on.
Oh, my God.
You're quite a mimic, sir.
It's awesome. But anyway, so we go through all that, and I admit, I was a little nervous when I heard the music pop. I got to watch my son dance. He's getting into it. And this is his very first wrestling event.
Which is, this was a decent one to go to.
And I'm like, oh, God, we're going to get another Randy Orton or some other B-card come out. And no. Awesome.
Which was great to see that entrance live.
Oh, man. Now, our seats, like I said, we are super thankful because we got spoiled. Our seats were literally 10 rows away from the ring.
It was great.
We were trying to post the pictures that we could with our stupid iPhones, but it didn't do justice as to how close we
really were, yeah. But those pictures we were sending, we were tweeting out, were not zoomed in.
No.
Like, we were right there.
Yeah. So anyway, Miz comes down. They have a 95-minute match, but it was a great match.
It was good. It was good. You had Miz winning it, which I think was great.
Perfect.
So now you got Miz in the Money in the Bank, which I'm fine with. I like that. I think it'll be good in it.
Loved it. And then we got, what are we going to say is Jace's favorite match?
Oh, by far, this was her favorite match.
Because Jace the Oracle is a huge fan of, is it Charlotte Flair?
It is Charlotte Flair, yes.
And
the Iconics, especially one Peyton Royce.
Now, here's my issue. Like, I love me some Jace, and she's a very intelligent. We call her the Oracle for
exactly,
a reason.
Exactly.
She likes both.
She does.
I was worried that no matter who won, one of them had to lose.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
that she wouldn't take that loss very well.
She doesn't like losses. She was a little upset when we went to the live event and she thought Bobby Roode was going to lose.
Yeah?
He didn't even lose. She thought he was going to lose. So we were worried about this too, but she held strong. She was happy with the Charlotte win.
Now, this is a Money in the Bank qualifier.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now Charlotte's in it.
And it was a good match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now are we going to have a whole thing with Charlotte winning the Money in the Bank and now uses it again against Carmella?
I would love. I would go for that story.
I'd be totally fine with that.
That's fine. In between, we get these promos of Cesaro and Sheamus in the back.
Right. Hating. Well, first of all, Cesaro is very angry with Sheamus because he should have beat Xavier last week. Basically saying, I would have won.
Yeah, he shamed him.
Mm-hmm.
Shame!
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 So then they say, Sheamus is like, all right, you fight him now tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
And he goes, okay, well, let me get my gear. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal. Da-da-da. He opens up his bag. What's his bag?
Oh, my God, it's full of pancakes!
Ah, pancakes got you! And Sheamus goes, ha-ha, you've been gutted! But then Sheamus opens his bag, and what happens? More pancakes!
And then someone, I hate pancakes!
We hate you, pancakes! And New Day for enjoying themselves.
And I'll be honest, if this is like a shtick they're going for, where they just hate pancakes because of New Day, I actually found it kind of funny. Because then when the match started, my favorite part was everybody cheering, we love pancakes! Yeah. And Cesaro getting angry.
We want pancakes! We want pancakes!
And Cesaro getting super angry. It's like, no pancakes!
You are not allowed to want pancakes! I am Cesaro. I talk like this because I got braces.
Oh, and I also enjoyed as the match was going on, Sheamus taking selfies of the match going on and posting it to Instagram.
Yeah, it was awesome. Now, he didn't have the super secret pancake jacket.
No.
That's a Cesaro thing.
That's a Cesaro thing, right, exactly. Yeah.
But Cesaro won.
Cesaro wins it, beats Xavier, but Xavier still looks good. Which I like.
He did look good. Now, what I appreciate when you go to the live matches, you get to see in between where they've cut to commercial.
Right.
What I really appreciate about Xavier Woods, especially Xavier Woods and Big E at this point, Kofi was off ringside playing the crowd.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Flipping pancakes, you know, smacking babies, kissing kids. Yeah. I don't know what he was
Whatever
doing, but he's playing the crowd. Mm-hmm. Xavier takes the hit in the middle of the ring. He's injured. He's hurt. You know. Big E climbs back in the ring after everybody's gone to commercial, plays it off like, are you okay, buddy? And Xavier's like, yeah. Xavier then rolls out of the ring
And you can tell he's just not, he's not hurt. It's right. KFAB, but he's acting it out for us.
Yeah, just
he's
for us
selling
there.
Just us there.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I looked in his eyes for a moment and he looked at me and I went like this. By this,
went,
I
went
mean,
like what?
I went like for this because you guys can see me on an audio podcast. I winked right at him. He winked back.
What?
Yep. Xavier and I shared a moment.
It's a moment. So now there are things that will live forever in infamy. There is the Xavier Woods wink back and forth with you. There is the Kevin Owens acknowledgement of me cosplaying like him.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is the Becky Lynch acknowledging you yelling at her.
Do we dare speak of Becky again? Because guess what?
Becky showed up.
Oh, my God. My poor son. I warned him. Now, I pre-warned my son. Becky Lynch is my favorite girl wrestler.
Right.
So, I got a funny story about my son and girl wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, he's 11.
11.
So, girls are still icky.
Icky. Icky right? girls.
But I explained to him that Becky Lynch is my favorite female wrestler, and when she comes out, I get really excited.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was forewarned.
He knew it was coming.
When Becky Lynch came out, I jumped up.
Mm-hmm.
I started yelling, "I love you, Becky! Oh, Becky, you're the greatest! Oh, Becky, 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 Becky!"
Right, you know, the huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The same. I totally marked out.
Right.
Beyond marked out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I exploded my
right.
mark.
Right.
Because
the beauty of being on the camera side that we are on, which is where
me.
The hard cameras are, cameras can't see us, but she looks dead at us.
Dead at us. So she comes out, she does her entrance, she does a fling through the ring, and as Mandy Rose is coming out,
mm-hmm.
she's looking around the crowd. I'm still up, and I'm like, "I love you, Becky."
Mm-hmm.
Blew a kiss.
Right in your direction.
Somewhere around me, I just jumped up and grabbed it like it was mine.
Right, right.
I'm exactly. sure
it's
it
like
was.
A foul ball. It's yours.
I'm sure it was.
Mm-hmm.
But she blew a kiss to our side of the crowd, and I'm sure it was because I was sitting there totally marking out.
Probably.
Screaming my love because I was the only one doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, so my son looks at me and goes, "Dad, that was, like, really weird." I'm like, "That's what being a mark is."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what true fans do, son.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my funny story about my son and female wrestlers.
Yes.
We have 2K 15, 16, 18, and...
Whatever the newest wrestling WWE
we
game
is. We do this wrestling game.
Mm-hmm.
All right? In it, you can choose to be a female wrestler.
Right.
Now, we have set wrestlers. Like, you know, the house rules of wrestling mm-hmm. are... I get to be Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
Whenever we wrestle each other, nobody else can be Dean Ambrose but me.
Mm-hmm.
He's called John Cena. That's one of his favorites.
Got it.
Now, he's also got dibs on Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. I don't need to be either one of them.
Right. Have him.
Right. But I've called dibs on Macho Man. So you see that I am a much better choice of
obviously,
wrestler.
Yes.
Well, every now and then, we will go to the female wrestlers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can be anyone else I want.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot be Nikki Bella.
Why not, John?
My 11-year-old son loves Nikki Bella.
Mm-hmm.
Not because Nikki Bella is an attractive woman. Not because Nikki Bella is a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Because he loves You Can Look, But You Can't Touch theme song.
You can look, but you can't touch.
You can look, but you can't touch. Like, he walks around the house, and I'm sorry I'm calling my 11-year-old son out. He walks around the house singing the song. And do I get embarrassed? Am I upset about it? Not at all.
He saw you at your female wrestler peak markdom.
Yeah.
And now you could share that with him.
Yeah, now he knows that it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay, son. Love who you love.
We share that moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm done with that. It was literally a dream fantasy. I don't know how else to put it, but you guys all understand.
Right.
To watch Becky Lynch and Mandy Rose in the ring together.
Well, the fact that they were wrestling, I feel, got in the way of what you wanted to happen.
The problem I had is, at first, the match was super short. At first, I thought it was because I was sitting there daydreaming, drooling the whole time.
Right, highly possible.
The match was super short. Becky eats a pin, and like, I had a what the fuck moment.
Yeah, like
what the fuck just happened here?
What happened? But I kind of, if this is the way they're going, because they kind of did this a little bit afterwards, with Becky losing, Becky getting upset, banging her fists on the ring, like, "I can't believe I lost, this is upset." Like, if they're going to go for this is, she is constantly losing and getting upset and beating herself up about it, then her, like, rise back, I feel could be decent, if this is the way they're going about it.
I like it. Now, to
corroborate with what you're saying here, she cuts a promo on Twitter the next day or the night of,
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, she's sitting backstage. She's like, I'm in a hard straight. That's a couple of hard losses right there. I need to figure out what's going on. I need to get back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. I like the idea that if they take a talent like Becky that they haven't used in a while, they bring her down a little bit so that we get like, oh, man, what's going on with Becky?
Mm-hmm.
And then she turns it around on us and we get that pop of, oh, she's coming back.
Right.
This is awesome. I think you can ride that wave for
especially
a good long
time. Especially if you do this in the terms of the Money in the Bank. And you do this as her rise to get into that last Money in the Bank qualifier spot. You know, and that's what she's going to get. And, I mean, even potentially win the Money in the Bank. Like, I think that's a good – you have 6 weeks to work that out. That's great.
I'm totally with you.
Yeah. But then we get into our last match, which is the last Money in the Bank qualifier, which is great to see live, of Daniel Bryan and Rusev.
But it wasn't the last match.
But it wasn't.
I'll tell you why after we talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, Daniel Bryan and Rusev, this is another Money in the Bank qualifier. I had 100% Daniel Bryan winning.
Completely agree.
100% Daniel Bryan winning. But no, Rusev takes the
Rusev
win.
Takes it. So now you got Rusev and Miz in there with Strowman and Balor.
I like it so far.
I like it so far. I'm good with
I'm
all
not
that.
Not complaining.
No.
So English comes out and crushes the intro.
Oh, he crushes Baltimore, calls it Baltiless.
Yep.
We will play it in our moment of.
And he made it rhyme.
Oh, that's how good it was. Good. It was so good.
So,
talking about the crappy Orioles and Ravens, like
now, it was good. It was a good show, and we liked it. But if everybody knows, if you go to a SmackDown taping,
mm-hmm.
immediately after they do a 205 match,
right?
So,
I got 205 live,
is 205 then. Live taping,
right?
So, I got that,
mm-hmm.
and I got to stay. Now, you unfortunately had to go because
I had to go.
Jace the Oracle needed to get her sleepy time,
right? At that point, it was already 10. When the Oracle normally goes to bed at 7:30.
Yeah, so...
We were pushing it.
She was toast, and I get it. But me and my son got to hang out.
Right, because you don't care about your son's sleep pattern or schooling.
Him. Yeah, who cares?
So
who cares about education
out.
And health and all that?
No.
We're staying out.
Exactly. And the thing that they do, and they did this last time we went to SmackDown as well, is they keep you there by tempting you with a dark match at the end of everything.
Yep, and the dark match at the end of everything is right after Live goes off air, SmackDown Live goes off air, we get this televised promo with Paige in the back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, listen, as Nakamura was trying to leave, he was medically cleared, and so was AJ, to have a match tonight. And we are going to have just that here in Baltimore, a title match after the taping of 205 Live.
Right.
So, of course,
you're
we
like,
stay.
What?
My son, who's a big AJ fan, was like, we got to stay, Dad. I want to watch this match. If a title changes, I want to be here for it. And who am I to say no?
Who are you to say no? I unfortunately had to say no and tell my daughter, tears streaming down her face because she wants to see Shinsuke and AJ fight.
Yeah.
And I tell her we have to leave because there's no way we were making it another 90 minutes. Like, it just wasn't going to happen.
No.
But that is how dedicated our children are to wrestling. That they cry when they can't see it,
I believe,
or they will stay out late to watch it.
Mm-hmm. I believe you brought them up
well. That's
so,
praise to us.
I'm going to give you guys a little inside information on the dark match. No dick punches.
What?
No dick punches. However, Nakamura is disqualified because he hit AJ with the chair.
Ah.
But didn't get thrown or anything. He didn't get another mark on him. He hit him in the back with a chair.
Mm-hmm.
So that basically covers Backlash.
Mm-hmm.
Raw.
Yep.
SmackDown.
Yep.
I can talk about 205. Let me put it this way. If you guys aren't watching 205, you have to watch 205. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch this week the main event match, which was Mustafa Ali against Buddy Murphy. It was an incredible match. And I think if you listen to it, you'll hear one guy through the whole show yelling, Buddy Murphy!
Who would that be?
That would have been me. Totally marked out.
Totally marked out for Murphy.
So it was great. So we talked about all the stuff that was on TV. We talked about all this great things that we love. But we haven't talked about what we love a lot.
And what we love a lot is local stuff. And we love some Right Coast Pro.
We do.
Right Coast Pro, 2 weeks from now, basically-ish, week and a half, they're having their impound one on May 19th. steel cage matches.
Steel cage match.
You know, we got the cage match we knew was coming from the last
event. We knew! Snitsky!
Snitsky versus the richest man in Haiti.
Brian Prophet.
Ooh, who we know will have his accompaniment manager there with him.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. You say we know. We don't know.
We don't know anything. We just hope.
Nah.
We just hope. But we have now also been told the second steel cage match of the event.
Second match, steel cage.
We have the Access Invasion.
Access Invasion.
Russia's Yuri Gregory.
Yuri Gregory versus.
And Germany's 9-9.
9-9.
Versus Team American.
Team America.
America's fuck best. Yeah. Colton Quest.
Colton Quest.
Disco Dave.
Disco Dave.
And some mystery partner we don't know yet.
Because Disco Dave screams Merca.
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 Merca. What doesn't scream more Merca than Disco?
Colton.
That's true. He is America's best.
Okay. Hey, and, you know what?
Yes.
As much as we make fun, we push prod and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be great.
It's going to be so
we
good.
We get a title match, and then we get a six-man tag match?
Right. And best part about it, as we discussed last week, because we know of the construction of said cage, these are your first two matches.
Exactly. Now, do you think part of Team America won Miles Millennium?
I don't know, because he is fighting in the three-way tag team match as well.
But he's done this before with the Royal Rumble. Where he fought a match, then he goes and wins the Rumble.
That would be pretty. That would be pretty because he's already got the three-way tag team.
Remember, we don't like him.
We don't like him. We don't care.
Obviously, we don't like him. God damn it, he's an impressive wrestler.
I know. And if he goes on to Team American, we can't not like him, right?
Fuck yeah. Team America. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great show, great promo. We are looking forward to this. We get a three-way tag team championship match.
Right, we get the Crazy Kids, the champions, versus Sir Spalding Savages, versus Miles Millennium, and whoever his ego allows to be his partner.
Do you think he gives his partners participation awards?
I'm thinking his partner's just going to be a mirror, or maybe a cutout of himself.
Ooh, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get an Olympias championship match.
Right. Sean Royal, the current champion, versus Sean Donovan, the Battle of the Seans. That's not what they call it, but that's what I've just decided to name it.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it won't be a yawn.
Oh!
On the lawn. Mon. See how I went copy on you?
Mon.
Yeah. So hopefully it won't be a yawn on the lawn, Mon.
That's stretching it.
Yeah, that was really stretching bad.
It. You could have gone for Braun.
Mm-hmm.
King Kong? No? That's stretching it too much?
No. Let's move along.
Let's move along to our moment of, which our moment of is easy this week. It is just some recordings, random recordings of us at SmackDown.
Oh, we were horrible.
We tried to do this whole thing where we attempted to do the show. It's just us screaming half the time. Yes!
I was too excited and enjoying the fact that I'm there with my son. It's his first show. We were having a blast.
Yeah.
And I just, our favorite friend of the show, Jason, came by and we got to hang out with him for a while.
Yep.
And I just, we had a great time.
Exactly. So we loved it. So here's some of us so you can enjoy it as well.
SmackDown Live in Baltimore. Jace, who do you want to see tonight?
Peyton White, Charlotte Flair.
Peyton Royce and Charlotte Flair are going to fight tonight.
I know that already.
Who do you think is going to win?
Peyton Royce.
Peyton Royce. I like that.
Charlotte's been on a losing streak lately, Craig.
She has been, John. John, who do you want to see tonight?
Becky Lynch.
Do you care about anything else besides seeing Becky Lynch tonight?
No.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that we're six rows back?
I am so excited right now. I dare to dream, my friend. Dare to dream.
We're close enough that a stray hair could fly in our direction.
If only that would happen. Who do you want to see?
I'm excited to see Daniel Bryan fight in person.
So your daughter and I are ready for the female wrestlers. You're looking forward to a male.
Yep.
Let's go!
Sonya Deville versus Asuka. Sonya had an amazing entrance. Why do I love militant lesbians? I don't know.
We don't know either.
Corey Graves wearing the white pimp suit tonight. White pimp with pink.
Straight white pimp. He looks like the guy from the dandruff commercial.
Or he would be sipping mint juleps on a porch.
Well, there was the derby this weekend.
I think you're right. That was it.
That's his derby outfit.
Quiet on the set.
Quiet on the set.
Quiet on the set.
Quiet on the set.
So Jeff Hardy apparently is for everyone today because he has rainbow sleeves on.
Rainbow Hardy.
Yep. That sounds like a breakfast cereal.
I'd eat it.
You would eat a rainbow Hardy cereal.
All in all its glory and loveliness.
Oh, God, we sound like idiots.
We are idiots.
Okay.
Okay. But thank you for listening to us again.
Yeah, this we love you guys.
We do.
Love the fact that you allow us to do this.
Right.
What we would love to hear from you guys is if we get some ratings.
Yes.
Some comments, some questions, some ratings. Go on whatever you're listening to. Give us a little rating. We are Take Two Takedown. We are part of the Take Two podcast family.
Mm-hmm.
You can give us whatever stars you want. You can say whatever you want to us about us. Just make sure you're honest. If you hate us, fine. If you love us, great. We are not going to change.
No, you don't have to. We are not. But the fact that we've made it 30 episodes and people actually still listen to us.
I know.
I think is great. You allow us to come into your ear holes and enjoy our love of wrestling that we try and portray to all of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for ways to interact with us.
Exactly.
You can hit us up at our tripletbag@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to send us letters, emails. You can ask us anything.
Anything. Wrestling or non-wrestling.
Wrestling
related.
Or non-wrestling. We will answer anything. If you are on the Twitter.
The Twitter?
We are on there quite often now.
Quite often.
You can find us at Take2Takedown.
Mm-hmm.
All one word, and all the two is spelt with two O's.
Exactly.
But that's a good way of getting hold of us.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to help support us as a show and as a network, don't forget to go to take2podcast.com. There's a little Amazon link in the menu there. Do all your normal Amazon shopping as normal from there. We just get a little kickback from stuff people buy, and it helps move our show forward for all of these future things we want to do, including, just throwing this out there, maybe actually paying for our own SmackDown tickets at one point.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Wait,
now you're going overboard.
It's a little crazy.
I don't even.
But this will help prepare and fund the pizza party that we will have at Right Coast Pro.
Did you notice?
Yes.
Right Coast Pro loves this idea.
I know.
I'm excited.
Jess is getting a phone call next week.
So I'm looking forward to it. All right. With all that being said, buddy, I look forward to the next 6 weeks kind of off.
Yes,
where I don't have to worry about pay-per-views, where we can go ahead and move forward. We can get into the new wrestling year. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I cannot wait. It'll lead for more fun for us from this show, more interaction, more talking, and more projection as to what we think is going to happen coming up in storyline, as opposed to just continuing to predict pay-per-view matches.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, we love you guys. Peace.
I got it.
Thanks for watching. Take two.
And don't forget, I love you, Bobby Roode. Bye, Bobby Roode.
Biggie! I love you, Biggie!
So you're the Finn Balor of the group, are you?
This has been a production of Take Two Podcast.
WTTP.
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 WTTP. Or
WTTP.
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 WTTP. WTTP.
WTTP.